Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increase with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and with what and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the specials. I thank you for the hymns. I thank you, Father, for these folks that have come, our families. They've gathered back together to hear your word and to fellowship together. And I just thank and praise you, please, dear Lord, that you will guide and lead us today, and that you'll show us your way and will as we go through this church of Laodicea, which is exactly the church age that we find ourselves in today. And so please, dear Lord, that you'll just awaken us and show us the timetable and the make us aware of how short the time is. Show us that we need to look to you and praise you and honor your name and lift you up and tell the wonderful, wonderful story, that great old story. So please, dear Lord, just guide and lead us now. Those that are here that do not know you as their Savior, that today they would come to know you as their Savior. And Father, all that are here that do know you, that they can grow today and be stronger in you today. Know of your peace and your joy and your strength and your wisdom, dear Lord, please. Guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have looked at that first verse as we started the study on the church of Laodicea last week, and we looked at the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, as that verse tells us, and we need to realize that when it begins with the Amen, he was calling this church of Laodicea to listen. You listen to the truth. That's the only thing that's going to turn this church around, this church, this literal church of Laodicea. And so he tells them to listen. And of course, we have it recorded in our precious book here that we read and study. And we do know that today is the church age of the Laodicean church. And so when we're studying this, we need to understand that's right where we're at, right here and now. And so when you look at some of the things that God condemns about this church, you'll sure see today that it's really commonplace. And I don't think you'll have any question of what church age that we are in. The Amen, again, literally means truth or believe. And so when we look at the Amen in the Greek, then it comes to verily, verily. And in other words, listen to the truth. I'm telling you the truth. And so we need to see that when he is calling out the folks of Laodicea, the believers that are there and all that are there, he's calling them to listen. Because the church of Laodicea is a dead church, and there's literally no saved within the church of Laodicea. So we see, first of all, the Amen, the truth, the call. And then we looked at a couple verses of Scripture, and we need to see that as Jesus addresses this church to Laodicea, we looked at John 14:6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we sure need to see that verse and understand there is only one way of salvation. There is only one way of service to our Lord, and that is by and through Jesus Christ. And then John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The only way that we're going to be stronger and grow and know the Lord for salvation and then know his power and strength is to study his precious living word, his book. And we love doing that. And then by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he directs us and brings us right to the author of this book, our Savior Jesus Christ, that we can walk each day learning and growing. And so we see, first of all, then, the amen, the truth. Now, the second we find, the second title here, the faithful and true witness. And we looked very quickly at the faithful and true witness. There is only one that is a faithful and true witness, and that is the Lord Jesus. All other have failed. We can try. We can work so very hard to be the faithful witness we need to be, and yet we fail. But Jesus didn't. Jesus is the true and faithful witness. And again, this is an introduction of who is giving us this record. And he is the amen. He is the truth. And we know that. And we also know now that he is the faithful and true witness. And we question and ask the question, has the church been, the local church here on earth, has it been a faithful, true witness unto the Lord? And I believe that we can answer that we have not been a good, faithful witness for the Lord. It is our joy and our privilege that we share the Word of God, the saving power of Jesus. It is our joy and our opportunity to share His love and His wisdom and all the things that He gives us, that we would share that with each other as believers and take out this precious gospel to the lost. It's so important that Jesus sees that the community, that this world around us see Jesus in us. And so as a church and as individuals, and it's so important that we ask that question. You know, not only is Christ visible in our lives, but do people hear and see Jesus in our lives? And we kind of enjoyed looking at that. The local church is the light bearer of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are the ones that take out and show the world Christ. That's the calling, that's the joy of the local church, is to do just that. Many churches have completely shut him out. And today, living in the church age of the Laodicean church, that is common, that he is standing outside knocking. And we find that in the 20th verse as we read and sang this morning. I stand at the door and I knock, knock, knock. It's so simple for all these churches to repent. Open that door and allow. We use that many times for an individual. Open the heart's door, and it can be applied there. But here, it's to the church. It's to the church, the group that was set out to reach the world for the Lord Jesus. There, you know, for us to take this wonderful book, we need the old-fashioned preachers preaching the old-fashioned book and telling of the precious, precious blood, saving blood of Jesus Christ. There is a message to be told, and we need to tell it. And the church has been given the greatest of all opportunities, and that is to give out the gospel of all the earth. Out of all the opportunities of mankind, the church has been given the greatest next to only one, and that's to the nation of Israel. Because Israel was called to do it first, and they failed. And then God set out, set them aside, gave us a chance, and we too have failed. We have failed reaching this world. It's not going to be long that this church age is going to come to an end. God's going to come, and Jesus is going to come, meet us in the air, and he's going to take us out. And then this church, as we have it here in Laodicea, will literally be spewed out of the mouth, as the scripture talks about. I'll spew you out. I mean, he's going to spew them out right into the tribulation period, and they're going to walk right in and be a part of that. So, again, the church has been given the greatest of all opportunities, greater than any other group of all the world, other than the Israelites, other than the Jews, to testify that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit testify that the Son of God came down here upon this earth to seek and to save us. He came down, He lived, He died, He rose again. He shed His precious blood that we can live. We have God as the Creator, God as the Savior, and God as the Sustainer. And we have that, we possess that, and we have the greatest news to take out. But once again, it sure seems that the visible church, the physical church here upon earth, has failed and failed desperately in doing what they should have done. We have not only had the greatest calling upon any above any group of all the world, but we have also failed probably worse than any group of all the world in what we were called to do. The churches used to be God-fearing. Today they're not. Schools, many schools founded upon the Bible, now deny that our Lord even exists, His very presence. Our government, set upon the Bible, set upon the morals that are taught in that book, in this precious book, now wants all thoughts, all appearances of God and His Word to vanish, to disappear. That's the condition we're in today, the age of the Laodicean church. The third and final description of our author here of telling us this wonderful message, the spokesperson, is He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the beginning of the creation of God. You know, you listen to today's scientists, to today's politicians, you listen to the world today, and we are growing and improving and getting better. And they believe that that's a form of evolution. We're evolving upward. Well, if they would take one honest look at themselves and at the world, they would realize that we are evolving, but we're evolving downward into wickedness, and we're becoming more and more and more wicked as the days go by, and it's going to continue. You know, we worry that we're going to destroy ourselves with global warming, and I'm more concerned that this world become godly cooling is what we've done. We've gotten away from God, and we're cold to God. That's going to be the destruction of the world, not any other kinds or forms of pollution. You know, and the enemies, they're joining together to destroy the testimony of Christ, His church, and the Israelites. He hates it. The devil hates Israel, and the devil hates the church, the true church and believers, and he is at work to destroy us. And so we have looked now at this wonderful introduction, and so now we come and we look at the place, and it says, I know thy works. That statement has been made seven times with seven churches, one for each church. I know thy works. And Jesus can recognize and knows immediately the strengths and the weaknesses of each one of these churches, and He has listed that for us to see. And so as we look at these strengths and weaknesses, not only can He see that here in this in our church as a church body, He saw it in the seven churches of Revelation, and so as we're looking now at the church of Laodicea, but also He looks at the strengths and the weaknesses of every born-again believer. And He has a purpose for each one of us, and we need to be seeking the Lord's will and His strength of how we are to be honoring Him and serving Him and praising Him. And He does know us. He knows our strength and He knows our weaknesses. The church of Philadelphia, Jesus said, "You have little strength." He knew exactly their condition. But remember, the Church of Philadelphia, he had none. He had no condemning to that church. He said nothing, you know, evil about the Church of Philadelphia. And he knew that what they were facing, that they were down to little strength, but little strength was enough. And we talked about how much does it take, how much faith does it take to move a mountain the size of a mustard seed. And so when we set our strength, no matter how weak we may seem to be, when we set our power and our strength upon the Lord, you're going to find that it will be adequate. He will supply the need. Jesus knew the weakness of the Church of Philadelphia, and it was in the state of little strength. But the Church of Laodicea, the statement that was made to them was much different, because it tells us here in this 15th verse, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Neither cold nor hot. What Jesus is saying in those words right there, that you're the worst of all. The Church of Laodicea, you are the worst of all the churches. You're neither hot nor cold. John doesn't use the terms here dead or alive. He uses the word hot or cold or hot. I believe it's the most dangerous state, most dangerous condition that you can be in. The place or the condition, the state of indifference. Indifference. You have a lot of folks that will disagree, boldly stand up and disagree with you. There is much more hope for salvation in the heart of that individual than there is to the one that will stand there and agree and agree and agree. There is one thing that you cannot be, and that is you cannot be neutral when it comes to Jesus Christ. You can't be. And yet the Church of Laodicea, today's church, has become neutral. It has become indifferent. The church today of Laodicea, there's a term that we have, it's politically correct. That's the church today. The church is politically correct. It has to do everything that's right, even though much of that, if not all of that, is contrary to the Word of God. But they don't care because they're indifferent to Christ. They're neutral when it comes to Christ. Take him or leave him. You can't do that. Take part of him, leave part of him. You can't do that. Today, the Church of Laodicea is neutral. It's a group of the undecided. And that undecided group will be the neutral group that will go straight to hell. One who takes no stand one way or another. Whether it be for Christ himself, whether it be for Christ's word, or whether it be for God's church. This indifference is more damning than all the drugs and the alcohol, the liquor, and all the sins of the world combined. There's only one sin that keeps you out of heaven and puts you in hell. And that sin is unbelief. And it's a sin of indifference. It's a sin of being neutral. You can't sit on the fence. You got to make a stand for Christ. And when you're in that mode, that condition, it is the worst of all. And it's hard to imagine, the scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How can we expect to have any hope when it is handed to us free? And yet this neutral, politically correct, indifferent society today. And it's not talking about the world, my friend. It's talking about
the church. That's the condition the church is in. You wonder why you visit a church with family or someone. You says, boy, I sat there and I didn't hear a thing. I heard a lot of social preaching, but how we have to meet the need of the poor and how the war has to end and we need all these things. But I didn't hear anything about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I didn't hear the gospel. I didn't hear him or today her in our politically correct society, you know, preach the gospel. I didn't hear it. It's because they are indifferent when it comes to the gospel and comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand that he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already. It is this sin of indifference, this sin of to procrastinate. Many people are going to go right to hell because they're going to get saved tomorrow. They're not smart enough to realize that you get saved when the Spirit of God deals with your heart, not when you choose to. Today, the greatest sin is the rejection of Jesus Christ, not receiving him. When we look at these words, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Church of Philadelphia, when they heard the words, I'm coming quickly, that excited the Church of Philadelphia. That excited them. All right, we're going to come out of this old wicked world and my Lord and Savior's coming and I'm excited. But you see, the same words to the church of Laodicea are words of fear. When they would hear the words, I'm coming quickly, that means the judge is coming, because if you'll notice here, there is no praise for these people. They are cold. And Jesus says, I would rather that you be cold, because you could repent and get hot. I'd rather that you be hot, because then God, I can bless you and I can use you. But you people are lukewarm. Lukewarm. You know, God uses that example. You know, there's a lot of things that to eat or to drink. You know, you want them either hot or you want them cold. But to drink lukewarm coffee, to drink lukewarm tea, to drink anything lukewarm is just not the best. I'd rather have it hot or cold. It just isn't any good. Well, Jesus uses that because he knows that we understand that. Lukewarm is not good. Neutral's not good. When you're neutral, you're worthless and you're hopeless and you're helpless. When you're in that condition, and that's the place and position of the church today. That's the position of the church today. There is no mention of the Lord's return as it was in the Church of Philadelphia here with the Laodicean church. The only thing we have here is judgment. I will spew thee out of my mouth. The Philadelphia church, as we've said before, is going to be caught up, and the Laodicean church is going to be spewed out. Which would you rather be? You know, be spewed out or lifted up? We have the greatest news to tell. These two events are going to happen at the same time, because when the church is raptured, we're going to be lifted up to the Lord, whether alive or dead, doesn't matter. We're going to meet him in the air. And that same time, exact same time, this church of Laodicea is going to be spewed out, and it's going to be vomited right into the tribulation period. And during that time, it's going to be one of the most wicked times, the most wicked time ever on earth. And so when the trump sounds and the dead in Christ shall rise, the living believer shall be changed, and the lukewarm professors will be spewed out, and they'll remain.
all this occurs in the twinkling of an eye. In the twinkling of an eye. You know, man today declares peace, yet peace will never be found until Jesus comes to rule and to reign. And before he rules and reigns, before he comes here for that 1,000 years, he is going to come. He's going to defeat and destroy the enemy, and then he's going to throw that old devil down in the pits of hell, and he's going to seal it. And that old devil's going to be sealed there for 1,000 years. Then we'll see peace here. It shows you the ignorance today of our politicians and of most of the people of the world, because they believe that we will have peace here. We will never have peace here until our Lord comes to rule and to reign. And he will rule and reign with a rod of iron. As we come, as we await that 1,000-year reign with Christ, when we wait for that time that true peace will come here to earth, we need to know that things are going to be worse. They're going to get darker and darker and darker and darker, as it did in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. You wonder how something in the newspaper can be more ugly, and things, the shootings that are out there. Well, we need to get rid of all the guns, because if we get rid of all the guns, then we'll take care of all the shootings. Getting rid of the guns is not going to do it. We need to get rid of sin. That's what's going to do it, and that's not going to come until we get our new bodies. Things are going to get worse, but there will be a day, and it's going to be a glorious day, the day that our Lord will appear, and we will meet him in the air and forever be with the Lord. Again, the Church of Philadelphia will go up. We're the wheat. The Church of Laodicea will be spewed out into the tribulation period. They're the tares. God will do a proper dividing. There's not going to be one person that's born again that gets, you know, today, if you get something in the computer, I don't know how many times that I'll make a call to change an address or change a name. It says, simply, I can do it. I'll just type it here on the computer and it'll all be taken care of. And then next month you get the bill and it went to the wrong place again. And so you call them again and they challenge you. Simply do that. They type it all out. You know, the next month it comes through. That computer's way too smart. Way too smart. And it has a mind of its own. I don't know if you've been involved with a computer much, but you do something in a series of just 2 or 3 times, and then that computer takes on that thought. And so even though the 4th time or the 5th time you want to do something else, it doesn't matter, because that computer knows what you want. And it's going to make you do it until you change it. And it's got a mind of its own, and it's a wicked mind. It is. Brian, son-in-law, always told me, he said, understand one thing about a computer, it lies. If it lies, it must be a sinner. And so it's just part of it. But you know, when we look at these things that we're trying to do, you try to do everything right and you try to do everything correct, and it's impossible. But when it comes to that day that Jesus is going to come, there is not going to be one baby left. There's not going to be one adult left that confessed Jesus as their Lord. He's going to take every last one of us. There's not going to be a one. And at the same time, there's not going to be anybody sneak into his presence that didn't trust in Jesus. Because God has a perfect accounting. So if you think that you can say, I know Jesus, but in your heart you've never invited him in, you're going to go right in. You're part of that church of Laodicea. You're going to go right into the tribulation period. This church didn't think they needed anything. We'll kind of close with this here, but they didn't think they needed anything. You notice that the believers of Philadelphia, they gave no statements of of praise to themselves. They didn't say, look at all the wickedness that's going on around us, and we've stayed faithful to you, Lord. There's no words of that at all. But look at the church of Laodicea. Church of Laodicea is bragging. The church of Laodicea is bragging. Philadelphia, no boasting, no bragging. But the church of Philadelphia, on the other hand, thou sayest. They were proud. What'd they say? I am rich. They also said, I am rich and have need of nothing. I am rich and I have need of nothing. They were proud. They were right. They had need of nothing materially. They had everything. The church of Laodicea would probably match today some of these magnificent buildings. I thought when I was reading this of the Crystal Cathedral and all its magnificent beauty, and I'm sure that it had the beautiful sanctuary, and then next to that would have a beautiful banquet hall, and next to that a great gymnasium, and I mean everything just in its finest. Beautiful bell tower and the bells chiming, just listening to them. Oh, it's just so wonderful. I am sure that this church of Laodicea was just like that. The members there were of the social elite. They were social people because they had money, and money brings society. And so they were social people. And they were probably, with money, they were probably very educated too. They were probably very intelligent people. And they filled this church of Laodicea. What most churches today would be so pleased with having such a building and such people in it. But they, as a church, and as any church today, has one direction to go, and that is into total ruin. Because they have everything. They have put everything in front of Jesus. They're buying their way to heaven. Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Wealth, things at the expense of not being godly or spiritual is nothing but a terrible, terrible curse. Things and money can be a blessing, can be a tremendous blessing unto the Lord. But if it is not kept in its proper place, it will be the worst curse that you have ever experienced. It was to the church of Laodicea. It is to the church age of today, because money and wealth has destroyed the church. No one has need of God. No one has need of a Savior. Because if I need something, I'll go buy it. We need to know that things are wonderful. God has blessed us with them. Enjoy them. But please, please keep it in its proper place. Because when pride enters in, when a knowledge of possession of those things is more important than your Savior, you're in trouble. The church of Laodicea, today's church, is boasting, is bragging of all that they have. And I'll just read. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You have nothing. Nothing. And that's the condition of the church today. Nothing. Do we want to join the crowd and be a Laodicean church? Are we already a Laodicean church? Do we love the world more than we love Jesus? It's a question for the church, and it's a question for individuals. It's a good question. You know, many churches on a regular basis, on an annual basis, this church should, upon the agreement of you folks, can vote whether you're whether you approve of me as the pastor of the church. But you know, we should take a look each year. Are we a Laodicean church? Are we a Church of Philadelphia? What are we? We need to see that we don't join the world. We keep our eyes upon Jesus. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come. And you've given us this wonderful book. You have given us the future. You tell us what's going to happen in the future. We don't need some fortune teller. We don't need to read the tea leaves or get the crystal out or something like that. Father, you have tomorrow. And if we're to be here and be a part of it, you're going to lead us through it. We don't know all the specifics about exactly what's going to take place tomorrow. If you give it to us, we don't need to. We need to prepare our hearts for you, love you and honor you, praise you. Please, dear Lord, give us your direction that we may follow. Help us to not get caught up with the things of the world. You've given it to us. You said all the rest will be added. So it can all come. It's not a problem with that. But it's the place. It's the position that we put things and money in relationship to you, Lord. And if we're poor, we depend upon you. But if we're rich, then we just don't need you quite as often. And it's not true at all, Father. We know it. But so did all those that have fallen into the Laodicean church. It didn't happen overnight. It happened over a period of time. As church member after church member became cold. And then that wasn't, too many people were getting saved, so the old devil kind of brought it up a notch and said, let's just have you to be indifferent. Don't stand against Christ, just don't agree with him. Be neutral. That'll be fine. And the world is. Worse than the world, the church is. Father, please, awaken us in this time because the time is short. Have us to be good servants, messengers, with your precious word. Touch the lost this morning, bring them to salvation, and grow the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.